not trying to remove it from the previous version of Now Unto Him That Is Able.
That is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior.
Open your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I'm going to preach to you today about foxes, wolves, and dirty dogs. I said foxes, wolves, and dirty dogs. I got something to say today. I pray you listen. I pray God will bless you. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. God's church ought to be standing for Him. Amen? And when God's church is standing for Him, oftentimes it's in the clefts of the rocks. It's being persecuted. It's in the wilderness. It's with outside the camp. You understand that? And in this situation, where she's close to her Lord, her groom here, it says, her husband, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Dear Lord, I do pray you bless us as we preach, as folks listen to thy holy word. It's a good word. It's right. We do pray you bless it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, when he says to his wife, take us the foxes, the little foxes, we pointed out last week that the word take means to trap, to ensnare. As Webster says, to take foxes with traps. Eradicate these foxes. Expose them. Bar them. Hinder them. Do everything you can to get the foxes out of your marriage, out of your home, away from your house. We've already seen some heartfelt, serious admonitions from the husband. Remember back in chapter 1. When she was seeking him and wanted to be with him, He had something to say to her. I remember back in centuries ago, John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, he gives advice to husbands. He says, you need to speak to your wives. The most important issues at a time when they're most open to understand. They're most ready, willing. And what I see is the Lord here, the husband in the picture. It's the Lord speaking to His church. It's this husband speaking to his wife. When she's most willing to listen, when she's close to Him, He takes those times to give her some very important information. Do you remember back in chapter 1 when she was seeking Him and longing for Him? Remember what He said. Oh, remember what she said in verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? You shouldn't be. Neither should the church. Stay faithful to Jesus. When she's in this state, seeking Him and Him alone, He answers her and says, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women. He's not all advice. But it's not just flowery language either. He's got something to say. He's romantic, but He has something to say. Romance without true love is foolish. We need both. And He says, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. What does He want her to know, church? What does He want you to know? Stay close to His local church. He calls His remnant people and says, don't get rid of the church. Stay close to church. Keep church together. Church is important. I ordain the church. I love the church. It's His institution. Keep it together. Participate in it. Honor it. Honor the Lord's day. Forsake not the assembling of thyselves together. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't exalt money over wisdom or job over church. Here she is seeking the Lord. Here she is seeking her Lord. And what does He say? At the time when she's most willing to listen, the persecuted church, the remnant church, what does He say? Stay close to church. Don't forsake it. You know, you ought to increase as you see the day approaching. Don't decrease. I'll tell you something. God's not pleased when church is forsaken. He's not. Here He is. This ultimate moment. O thou fairest among women, stay close to the shepherd's tent. Stay close. Footsteps of the flock. Don't you get out here. Get alienated. Cut off. You know, those little foxes of compromise begin to spoil the vines, don't they? Just a little sin leads to another sin, leads to another sin, and pretty soon you lose your shame. It's no longer embarrassing. It's no longer shameful to sin. First, people backslide and say they can't come to church because of some alleged necessity. And one day I'm going to preach on necessity. I'm going to show you in the Old Testament how many people thought they had a necessity. There's one fella, and I wasn't going to preach on him. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. There was one fella, Solomon told him, I tell you what, I'm going to have mercy upon you. You're not going to be executed, but I'm going to tell you plainly, don't you leave Jerusalem. And one day, he needed to go find his asses. You remember that? He thought he had an emergency. He came back and said, I think I found him. He said, I think you're dead. And he died. I'm not going to go off on that, but I'm going to just tell you, you better watch out with your supposed excuses and necessities. But here's one thing. I do believe that there's emergencies, there's times, there's situations, there's sicknesses, there's things. But I'm just telling you, you better be careful with this type of stuff. Amen? And I'm also going to tell you that after a while, once you exalt these necessities, pretty soon you're ready to run off for leisure. See how it works? See how it works? Backsliding leads to double backsliding. Staying at home from the battle led to David lusting, and lusting led to adultery, and adultery led to murder and deception. Little foxes spoil the vines, and I'm telling you, you ought to block them. You ought to block the foxes. You ought to capture them. You ought to root them out. You ought to say, this is just a little sin, isn't it? Well, I tell you what, this little sin is going to cost me in the millennial kingdom, because the Bible says you break one of the least commandments, you'll be least in the kingdom. But I tell you what, you keep messing around, you won't even enter into the kingdom of God. And I believe in eternal security, but I'm telling you, there's judgment to come for backslidden believers. Amen? So I'm telling you, these little foxes are nothing to play around with. Little sins are nothing to play around with. Little sins lead to big compromises in your life. And you better root them out, because they start adding up. They start adding up. It's not my desire to re-preach what I've already covered there in chapter 1. But I just want you to see how when she's closest to her husband, when she's most ready to hear, he gives her the most important counsels. You know what I just said, a lot of people won't hear across America today. There's a lot of Christians that roll their eyes at that, and they don't hear what's precious to the Lord. But I pray if your heart's open, you'll hear that the Lord, the first thing in Song of Solomon, says, I want you to stay close to church. Everybody wants love, romance, and this charismatic singing, rolling their eyes to Jesus and all this kind of stuff. Praise God, lift your hands to Jesus. But a lot of it's just a bunch of flowery language that means nothing. It's right out of Proverbs 7 where she's decked everything and she's paid her vows. And I tell you what, it's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And I'm telling you, if you love Jesus, then honor His church. Honor the Lord's Day. That's what's important to Jesus. When you have ears to hear, you'll be able to hear. When will we find Him? He says it'll be when you search for Him with some of your heart. Is that what He says? No, when you search for Him with all of your heart, Jeremiah 29, and here she is searching for Him with all of her heart, and she gets some special treasures of wisdom. Oh, the world despises it, but I tell you what, it's a precious nugget. You stay close. You stay close. Don't forsake the Lord's Day. That's what I love. That's what I want, says the Lord. Now, you better make sure you got a shepherd that's not a dog. Amen? Now, we got the chief shepherd. I tell you what, he's perfect and sinless, and he has some under-shepherds, but you got to watch out about these under-shepherds. Some of them are dogs, according to the Bible, and they're not good dogs. They're dumb dogs that don't bark. They're greedy dogs, and you got to watch out. So when I say stay close to the church, find one that's seeking the Lord Jesus. Find one where you can be fed. That's the whole point. Get fed, amen? Get fed. If you got a church where you're getting fed, stay close to it, amen? Because the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting fed. See, I already know all that stuff. We need to be reminded. We need to be stirred up. And the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting stirred up. When you search for Him with all your heart, you ought to try it in your marriage. I don't know what's going on in your lives today, but I know there's a devil. And I know how the devil operates, because I'm not ignorant of his devices, because I've got a Bible, amen? You ought to try it in your marriage. Wives, you ought to truly give your hearts to your husbands and strive to be the wife that God wants you to be. You ought to lay down your arms. You ought to lay down those defenses and just trust God. Be in subjection, even in your own heart, as Sarah was. It was a heart subjection that manifested in an outward subjection, because she was calling Him Lord even when nobody was looking, even when nobody was around. It was in her heart. She was not just outwardly conforming. She says, I'm going to be in subjection to my husband, in subjection to God, because I love the Lord and I trust Him and I want to do right. And I tell you what, she turned herself to her husband. Is there an alienation between you and your husband right now? Are you distanced from your husband? You really love him. Trust him. Say, I can't trust him. You can trust God, can't you? You can trust God. This world says submission to your husband and opening your heart to him, and they say it's weakness. But you know what? My Bible says the wisdom of God is not weakness. The Bible says that by the wisdom of God, kings reign. I'm telling you something. When God tells you to do something, that's the strongest you will ever be. Do you understand that? When you're right with God, that's when you're strong. When you're walking in foolishness, that's when you're weak, no matter what the world says. You can roll your eyes at me while I'm preaching, but I'm going to tell you the truth today, and you better hear it. Amen? You better hear it. And husbands, let your wife be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Be thou ravished always with her love. You feel that way, husband? You feel separated, alienated? Turn your heart to your wife. Turn your affections toward her. You know, quite often the disciples in the Gospels, didn't understand what Jesus was saying to him. Remember when you're reading in the Gospels, and they weren't even listening. You know why they weren't listening? They were striving with one another. You might be striving in your marriage today, and you don't hear a word I'm saying. But I got something to say. It's important if you'll listen. I tell you something, there's times when they did not understand the Lord. They were too busy arguing, too busy competing with one another, and too busy meddling in each other's business.
Right.
You know, the Lord tried to tell Peter, I want you to watch and pray. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. I want you to watch and pray, and I want you to be careful. And he said, oh, Lord, though all men forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. And he went to sleep. He was supposed to be praying and watching, and he was sleeping. It sounded crazy to watch and pray. That must be legalism. That's radical. You know, everybody's always walking around saying Jesus is crazy. His own relative. His own friends. He's beside himself. And you ever get a preacher of the gospel, you ever get somebody to preach it like it's supposed to be, then I'm going to tell you something. They say he's crazy. They say he's radical. He's too extreme. Well, you need some of this stuff that's called extreme because your life is too casual and the devil's going to sift you like wheat. He's going to tear you up until you get up and get something zealous for God and diligent for God. Amen? I tell you what, Peter didn't listen when God tried to tell him, when Jesus tried to tell him he needed to watch and pray. But I tell you, when he was finally broken and humbled, he listened in a way that he had never heard before. He didn't think he had to watch. But when he fell, he learned a big lesson, didn't he? Wow, there's a reason the Lord told me to do those things. There's a reason I'm not supposed to touch sin. There's a reason I'm supposed to come not nigh. There's a reason I'm supposed to look not at the wine. There's a reason I'm supposed to stay close to the church. There's a reason I'm supposed to obey these warnings that I've been given. There's reasons for all of this. We're not playing around. This isn't a club. And when his heart was finally open, oh, what a different Peter he was. Instead of arguing with other disciples, he don't even care about these disciples in one sense. He saw the Lord. He wasn't going to wait for the boat to get to shore. He dove into the water and swam zealously to the Lord. He just wanted to be around the Lord. And he's like this dove in Solomon. He's like this wife in the Song of Solomon. He's close to the Lord. He wants to be with the Lord. And he opens his heart to the Lord. And it's amazing because this is very special. This is very precious because we want to hear what the Lord's going to say to him. And when he comes up close to the Lord like that, he's finally willing to hear in a way that he was never willing to hear before. What did the Lord say? Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Oh, what do pastors need to hear? What do shepherds need to hear? What do we as a church need to hear? I tell you what, God loves young Christians. He wants you to feed them. I tell you what, he wants the pastors to feed the Word of God. Amen? He says, I want you to feed them. I want you to give them the Word of God. Don't be afraid to get up here and preach sound doctrine. You need to feed them and give them what they need. Give the little ones what they need. Feed them. Feed them. Feed them. This is what's precious to the Lord. This is what He most cares about. When He has your attention, these are the things. He's saying, folks, I want you to stay in church and get close to my shepherds. And shepherds, I want you to give them the Word of God. And He's up there watching. And when you're closest to God, this is what He wants you to hear. Stay close to the shepherd's tents. Shepherds, feed the lambs. You know, Christians need to eat this real food. Amen? Christians need to eat this real food and pastors need to give it out. The Bible said in the last days they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, compromised teachers, the bad pastors called dogs in the Bible, not the ones that help the flock, but the ones who come and abuse it. When you open your hearts to the Lord in humility, He gives these very important counsels. And the first one in Song of Solomon is foundational about the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. But in this special counsel in chapter 2, that's what concerns us today. Let's read it again, please. She's close to the Lord. He has something to say. He's already told her, stay close to the shepherd's tents, go in the footsteps of the flock, stay close. But now He has something to say. I want you to hear it. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And then what does He say? Take us the foxes. Oh, it's not long when the Lord, when you get up close to the Lord, He's so glad that you come to hear what He has to say. And then all of a sudden He says, I got to tell you something very important. Now that you're listening, now that you're close, I got to tell you something very important. As He takes her long, beautiful hair and begins to stroke it, I can just see the husband saying to his dove, we need to watch out for foxes. Little foxes. They'll spoil the vine. You got to hear me about this thing. I'm very serious. I'm concerned about it. Are you willing to hear from God? Are you seeking? Are we as a church seeking? Are we open? Okay, well, if we're open, let's hear what the Lord has to say. Don't forsake church. Then number two, feed the kids. Shepherd, feed the truth to young and old. But there's more. When we get over here to chapter 2, she's been seeking to please Him. She's in the clefts of the rock. She hasn't forsaken her house. Her feet abide in her place. She's not dressing and living like a harlot. She's listening to what the Lord has to say. And when she's most willing to hear, she gets this next admonition, take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grape. What's He saying? Go to church. Stay close to the shepherds who are feeding the unadulterated word. But, and don't miss this, watch out for foxes. Not only watch out for them, but take them means capture them, eradicate them, do away with them. You might not find this very romantic, but I assure you, you want to read Song of Solomon, and already he says you need to go to church. And you need to fight. You need to watch out for these foxes. We're living in a day where there's enemies. Even in paradise, there was a serpent that came into the garden. Do you understand that? Adam, in all his perfections, in all of his watching, in all of the perfection of Adam, a serpent got into the garden that he was to guard and keep. And that serpent came in unawares, because the serpent was more subtle. It didn't look like a serpent in that day and age. And it came through and got contact to his wife, with his wife. And it's brought a lot of hell ever since. This may not seem to you like love, but I'm going to tell you today, there's a lot of secret love that's not true love today. I believe in romance, but I'm telling you something. A lot of what we see out here today is a form of godliness. It's true with your children. It's true in your marriage. And it's true in your friendships. I hope you're listening. Let me talk to you about true love a few moments before we proceed. A friend who laughs at sin in a person, who makes a mock at sin, who giggles or makes light of a wife deceiving her husband, or lying to him, is not being a loving friend. First, there are some things you should not be listening to, even if it's offered by your friend. Because if you're going to be a true friend, you can tell when people are getting in the gall of bitterness and when something's not right, and you will do what you can to stare them back on course and not sit there and listen so they can get more stirred up. And one thing you will never do if you are a friend, you're not going to giggle or make light of lying to her husband. Y'all listening? You said that to him? You deceived him like that? Yes, I did. Well, tell me more. Hey, you don't know how far gone somebody is when you're playing around and giggling. You understand that? When you're busy gossiping and tattling on the phone, you don't know what the devil is doing to somebody. And I'm going to tell you something, it's always worse than it seems. If somebody's already admitting sin and making light of it, then I promise you the reality of what's going on is so much further than you could ever imagine. You've seen it in the children. You've seen it with backsliders. You've seen it with people all down through the ages. And it's time for you to wake up and realize sin's not fun. Sin's not a game. Sin's nothing to make light of. I'm just trying to be a friend. Well, you're trying to be a friend like the world, and it's time to be a friend like God wants you to be. People on the brink of hell and Christians patting them on the back. The Bible says in Leviticus 19, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt gossip with them and laugh about sin with them. Is that what it says? No, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon him. Goes for men too. You called up and said, yeah, I lied to my wife the other day. That's not funny, is it? It's not funny. And if we love one another, we ought to say, you know what, this isn't funny. Let me talk to parents for a minute. Talk about friends. Let's talk about parents. The Bible says the parent that spares the rod hates his or her children. Y'all listening? Don't shut down on me. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your children. Now, I don't believe you intentionally are trying to hate them. But what the Bible says is in your foolishness, in your foolish kind of love, y'all listen, in your foolish kind of love, the result is hate. The result is hate. Because you're trying to get one thing accomplished. But in the way that you're loving your children, it's really hate because it's sending them to hell. Let me talk about a husband for a minute. The husband who does not care enough to warn against dogs and do what he can about them is not exercising a wise and loving protection over his wife. There's many husbands that are just plain flippant. And they're not exercising a wise and loving protection based on the realities that are in this day and age. And the realities is there's a devil that's running around that hates you. And I'm going to tell you, that devil wants to bring down your home, destroy your home, and he's going to do everything he can to do it. And if you love your family, if you love your wife, then you ought to exercise a loving, watching protection. You ought to watch out for dogs. The husband in the Song of Solomon. She's close to him. And he says, let us go capture these dogs. Let us go get these foxes. Yeah. A lot of hate today feels like love. It's called love. A lot of love looks like hate to foolish, silly people who need to grow up and realize Satan's not playing around. This is not all a game. Christ was crucified because of sin. Sin put the Lord God upon a cross. Sin's not funny. Decide what side you're on. If you're on the side of righteousness, stand up for righteousness. Don't make light of sin. You know, Paul, when he called the elders of the church of Ephesus together, he said something to them when they were most open to hear. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed. There it is again. When Peter came to Jesus, when he's most open, most ready to hear, the Lord said, Peter, feed. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. When he calls these elders together, he said, I want you to feed the church. I want you to feed the church, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Therefore watch. Therefore watch. You know, that's just like we see here in Song of Solomon. When he has their most willing to listen, he says, take us the foxes. Take us the foxes. Let's go get them. Let's capture them. Watch out for them. Eradicate them. And Paul says, grievous wolves are going to come in and they're not going to spare the flock. And you need to watch for them. You need to eradicate them. You need to rebuke them. You need to put a hedge about the church. You need to watch out for them. And he says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. I don't know how important they thought that was. They probably thought Paul was just a very strange fellow. I don't know what they thought about Paul. But oftentimes Paul would just start crying and say, I want you to watch. I want you to watch for wolves. They'd say, well, I hear you, Paul. Okay. You okay? It'll be all right, buddy. It'll be all right. What are you all upset about? Because he could see something. The reality of Satan that they could not see. You understand that? When your father says to you, no, we're not going to do that. You need to stay away from that. He knows more than you realize. He's got some things that he understands that you don't understand yet. And he's trying to watch out for you. And here we have it. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Stay close to the shepherds. I want them to feed. Chapter 2. Take the foxes. Trap them. Get rid of them. Here we are over here in the book of Acts. Feed. Feed the church of God. Feed the church of God. And then what do you hear? Beware of wolves. We're starting to see a pattern, aren't we? Starting to see a pattern. Wolves and foxes are in the same family, folks. They're in the dog family. They're in the canine family. The Bible repeatedly warns us when we're most apt to listen. Beware of dogs in all forms. Beware of foxes. Beware of wolves. Beware of dogs in general. You don't believe me? Let me show you. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He said, I've got to tell you something. And I know you're getting tired of hearing it. What did Paul say? For 3 years, warning them with tears, beware of these wolves. Beware of these dogs. I'm getting tired of hearing that preacher get up and say these things. I'm getting tired of hearing my husband. I'm getting tired of hearing my father. Paul says, you know, it's not grievous. It's safe. I'm trying to play it safe. The reason I'm warning you about these dogs, I'm trying to be safe. It's not time to go to sleep. Amen? And number two, what does he say? Beware of dogs. Don't maybe get up here and preach for nothing. Amen? What's he tell the Philippians? Beware of dogs. What did he say to the wife over there in Solomon? Song of Solomon. Take the what? Take the foxes. What did Paul tell the elders at Ephesus? Beware wolves. Do you understand the Bible's telling you as a church to watch out for foxes and wolves and dogs and to beware of them? Do you realize God is trying to tell you as a husband that dogs are going to come in and try to invade your house and tear your house up and you need to beware of them? Do you realize the Bible's trying to tell you that dogs are going to come after your children? And if you don't put a hedge about them and watch, they're going to come after your children. You're going to lose some of your children to dogs. You don't think it could happen to you? You need to wake up. There are watchdogs in the Bible. There's even shepherd dogs in the Bible. But in general, everything in the dog family, a fox, a wolf, a dog, are pictures used to warn churches and warn marriages. Come on now. And the husband in Song of Solomon, in one of their most tender moments together, when she draws close, says in effect, let us watch for these foxes and eradicate them before they get our fruit. Before they get our fruit. The first thing we see is the word us. This is important. This shows us that a husband has a responsibility to watch out for foxes, to watch for wolves, to watch for dogs. Follow what I just said. He said, take who the foxes? Take us the foxes. Who's talking? The husband. To the wife. So he's saying, I'm watching for them. I'm going to go capture them. First, he shows his own responsibility in watching over foxes. Do you know you as a father have a responsibility to watch over your children and make sure foxes don't get them? Do you know you as a husband have a responsibility to watch over your wife and make sure foxes, wolves, and dogs don't have contact with them? Now I want you to listen to me. If you read a lot of literature from the 1800s about how a husband ought to be, they tend to agree about a lot of things with a lot of holy principles. And one of the things they say is, young men, I want you to listen to me, young men. I want you to listen good. They say, you better keep both eyes open going into marriage. Both eyes. Not sleeping time. 2 o'clock in the daytime. You ought to keep both eyes open when you're listening to a sermon. I'm sorry. Going into a marriage. And what they mean is, you better take your prospective wife and you better find you some elderly ladies that know what's going on, and you better drop her off over there and say, I'll come back and pick you up in a few hours. And you better talk to that elderly lady and you better sit down. You better look at that thing. Look at how she obeys her dad. Look at how she talks to her dad. Look at how she talks to her mama. You better look at everything. You better keep both eyes wide open as you go into marriage. You understand? But then they said something quite surprising and alarming. They said, you better shut one of them once you get married. Better shut one. And I think what they mean is, you're married and they're not telling you to just tolerate sin and let your marriage go to hell, but they're saying, you better shut an eye. But whatever value there is in that advice, here's what they did not mean. They did not mean close your eyes or even one eye when it comes to foxes and dogs and wolves. You understand that? Now that you're married, you better keep both eyes open for wolves and foxes and dirty dogs. Fathers ought to watch out. Pastors ought to watch out in the church. I tell you what, they can come from anywhere, that they can deceive you and fool you, and before you know it, they done grabbed two or three families and tore them up, get them out here and scatter them and just drop them off in the wilderness somewhere. And it's hard to repair them. You understand? I think, how in the world did they get in and do that? Right under my nose. You know how many men have lost some children to hell because of some foxes and wolves? You know how many people have lost their wives because of foxes? Because they're trying to be nice husbands. And sometimes those that are under authority don't understand the danger. Certain safety measures are implemented to keep foxes out and such like. There's fences that are built up. There's hedges of thorns that are built up around your family for the sake of your children, around your wife for the sake of your wife, around the church for the sake of your church. And sometimes these fences and hedges can seem unnecessary to childish people. Your husband's that strict? Wow. Yeah, you mock it. We'll see where you are in 2 years. We'll see where your children are. You say, what are you saying? That's not edifying. Well, people always tell me that's not very edifying because you know what? Sometimes they don't like warnings. Sometimes they don't like warnings. But I'm telling you something, unless you start playing it safe like Paul said, I'm going to tell you more than once. I'm going to tell you over again. I'm going to tell you for 3 years crying. I'm going to tell you because it's safe. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't start playing it safe with your family, if you don't understand that you've got enemies out there that want to tear up your family, break your marriage up, that you've got enemies out there that want to tear your church up, if you don't start realizing that and watching, I tell you what, you're going to be hurt. Amen? You're going to be hurt. Remember, Eve was perfect, but somehow or another, with the perfect God who never did anything wrong, with that perfect God, somehow or another, when she got around Satan, she became convinced that God did not love her. If he loved me, why would he give me this command to stay away from this perfectly good fruit? And old devil, he just started talking about it. He goes, so tell me about these commands. Tell me about some of these fences that the Lord has built up, you know. Tell me, just talk about it. Oh, that must be sad living under that. That must be sad. You know, here's what I think. I think he just knows. He just knows the day you'll eat that, you'll get your freedom and liberty. You shall not die. You shall not surely die. Oh, she got herself filled with bitterness against God Almighty, who's perfect. How much more can wolves and serpents and foxes and dirty dogs stir people up? Are you stronger than Eve? I believe even in the New Testament with the Holy Ghost and all of our truth and all of our revelation and everything that we have, the Bible says you still need to watch out for Satan. He's got more of a reason to come after you. Somehow or another, that serpent slipped under Adam's watchful eye, who was commissioned to keep the garden. But you know what? That was back then. And all throughout history, there's been dogs creeping through the back doors of houses, trying to get contact to children and wives. But the devil has never had an easier time than today to destroy the fruit of the vineyard by foxes and other dogs. Do you know today, dogs that would never be allowed to contact with wife or children are brought right into the living rooms or bedrooms through television? Do you know some of the worst dogs and foxes that in previous years could not have gotten anywhere near a man's house are brought right into the living room, invited right into the living room, and a man just leaves and leaves his family to sit there and watch that trash, to prey upon their children, prey upon their wife? Then you have the computer with Facebook. And this becomes even more dangerous, since it's not just some Hollywood dog who could never have access to your wife or children, but only through philosophies could destroy your wife. And that's bad enough, because every single one of those wicked television shows and movies are going to demonize the man of the house, demonize the father, even the Disney movies. You don't believe me? I'll show you sometime. You say, well, this movie didn't. Well, you didn't look at it good enough. Well, Bambi surely didn't. Oh, yes, it did. Even Bambi. And if Bambi does it, then I'm going to tell you something. All the other trash they put on TV also demonizes the man, stirs up resentment in the woman, and makes her start saying, I'm being restrained and I am having a terrible, oppressed life. But the computer with Facebook raises this thing to a whole nother level. Since it's not just some Hollywood dog bringing lies and corrupting your manners, it's real foxes, real dogs, who have contact, sometimes daily, with your wives and children. Men who wisely have brought their families at home. They don't believe in public school where dogs, humanist teachers, and other people that are raised without godly standards can go off in these schools and corrupt. Dogs and foxes can have access to their children. They don't believe that the wife, the mother of their children, ought to work outside the home. They would have never allow foxes and dogs around their wives because their wives are at home. Their children are at home. But yet these same fathers allow Facebook into their home So 300 friends, and you hadn't the slightest idea who they are, can have daily contact with your wife, and God forbid your children. And all you need is one good argument. Because you're not a perfect man. And even if you were perfect, Satan is able to create a situation where he can stir up resentment.
Right.
And when you couple the fact that Satan can do it even with a perfect God, and you couple with the fact that you're just not perfect, and that's all there is to it, and you never will be, but we ought to strive for it, amen? We ought to strive to be the best fathers, the best husbands that we can possibly be, but there's going to be times when you say things that are just not right. There's going to be times when you are just simply not going to be the perfect man you ought to be. And all you need is one good argument and one friend on Facebook to sit here and say, tell me about it. Oh, I had that trouble with my wife too. Oh, yes. Oh, it's just hard. Let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. I want you to have a happy marriage and I want to have a happy marriage. Let's encourage one another. And then there they go with the flattery. The understanding, the attention. Tell me about it. Dogs. Dirty, stinking, vile dogs. I'm telling you something, men. I want you to listen up. You're living in a day when phones are now computers and TV sets, and you have Facebook and text messages and pictures and videos and emails and such like. And you know what it does? You know what it does? It breaks down any little bit of a hedge that there ever was around your family. It has been broken down. There is no hedge. There is no hedge. Foxes and dogs can come, do whatever they want. And it's only a matter of time before you come and say, you know, Pastor, when you told me that, I rolled my eyes and I laughed and I trusted my children. I had a good wife, and I believe you did. I believe Eve was good before the devil got a hold of her. But I'm telling you, every one of us has a flesh. And when you give yourself time to open yourself up to the devil and look at the junk you look at and let the people with vile minds come and friend you and be nice to you and come around your life, before you know it, you're going to go through a hard time. And just at that hard time, all the trap, the Bible says serpents are wise. I've seen them. I've seen documentaries on them where they'll wait outside until the nighttime to sneak into a house. A serpent is very patient, and the devil will put the traps around you and he'll say, the hedge is broken down. Let it sit here for 3 months. Oh, let us go now. Let us go now, satanic majesty. And he'll say, no, no, no. Let it sit there for 3 months till they get real safe, real secure. They're a city without walls. They're a vineyard without a hedge. I got just the person to bring at just the right time. I'm going to put together a series of events till I'm going to get them exasperated, filled with hormones, filled with all kinds of raging confusion. And in the midst of that, I'm going to unleash my dog. And it'll be in such a form, it'll look like a little puppy dog, and they'll never suspect it. I've had men tell me, I don't have to bring my wife home. Some dog's not going to get her. She's a good woman. I said, well, I believe she's a good woman, but I believe that the way you're running things is wrong and is from hell, and you're going to pay a price for it. They said, well, I'll get out of debt first. And a dog got to his wife. Dogs and foxes don't even have to work anymore to destroy wives and children. And I'm not forgetting the men. I've got plenty to preach to you, not only today, but later. You men, there ought to be a cutting off of strange women. It said the young fool is the one that went the way to her house. And if you're reading this trash news that's mainly pornography is all it really is, and you say, I'm just flirting with pornography, I tell you what, either you hear the preacher and turn that stuff off or God's going to hurt you. And when God hurts you, it'll be because you needed it. He loves you. You better cut off all provision for pornography. And when you try to say, I'm going to leave the web, and I believe that it has some good, and we're going to try to use it for good, there ought to be real accountability. You better get like some of them Amish folks do. You better put that thing and put a fence around it, and you ought to have some accountability in your home and say, we don't touch this thing until we're able to do so with some accountability. You better do something radical, folks. You better do something radical. That's just not possible in this day and age. Well, you better make it possible. You better make it possible. You better look at that thing like you would. The most dangerous gum is even worse than a gun. You understand that? I believe guns are good if in their right hands. And I do believe there's some good that can come from the web. But you better treat it like something that is very, very dangerous. Because it'll kill you. It'll send you to hell. And you ought to care about the accountability. If you have something on your computer where your wife can see what you're doing, you ought to care about it. You ought to not get to a place where you have no shame. I got a lot to preach, but that's not my sermon today. I want to preach to you men about watching over your home. It says in Deuteronomy 22, when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house, if any man fall from thence. You know what he told him? The living room was upstairs. The living room was on the roof. That's where everybody began to hang out in those hot desert areas. And I tell you, the Bible says that that man ought to build a fence all around the roof of his house so nobody can get hurt in his living room. You hear me? You know what you ought to do to your house? You ought to make sure nobody can get hurt in your house. You ought to make sure bad people can't get in, and you ought to make sure that there's nothing inside the house where people can get hurt. Mark chapter 12, he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it. Why did he put a hedge about that vineyard? To keep foxes from getting into that vineyard and destroying the fruit. Now, if he did that with a vineyard, how much more should you, with your precious children, who the Bible likens unto your vineyard, how much more should you do that with your wife and children? Are your wife and children more valuable than your food? They are. But if the Bible says a man's going to put a fence around his vineyard, how much more should you put a fence around your house? And if anybody criticizes you for it and says, well, you got a fence around your house and around your wife, well, you can't raise them like that. That's horrible. It's horrible to be like that as a husband. Well, get behind me, Satan, and get out of my face, and I'm going to tell you exactly how you ought to be in life. Do you hear me? Not playing around with the devil. Everybody that I've ever seen play around with the devil and tell me that they were able to do it has been hurt and has bitten and has been destroyed and shipwrecked. Every one of them. Every one of them that said, well, I'm a strong Christian. I'm raised in Sunday school. This stuff doesn't bother us like it bothers others. Every one of them's destroyed their lives. Job 1, the devil began to complain about God's hedge. Has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? I'm going to tell you something. The devil gets real mad when you put a hedge about your family. He doesn't like it very much, does he? There's a general hedge or battlement that you ought to make, that everybody ought to make around your children. Y'all pay attention. And this general hedge that you put around your family, you say, we don't do that in my family. We don't bring television into our living room. We don't do Facebook. We don't do these things. People around you are going to say that's legalism. Well, you go ahead and call it whatever you want to call it. If God put a hedge about Job, I'm going to put a hedge about my family. Hey, let me tell you something else, though. There are even bigger fences that you have to put up in emergency situations. I believe today most Christians in America, even in fundamental Baptist churches, have broken down the hedge entirely. They think they're watching over their family. They're not watching nothing. They're just sitting here waiting for the devil to make his move. But there are some times when your children, and maybe even your wife, needs an extreme watching, an extreme hedge. Hosea found that out. It says in chapter 2, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path." What's Hosea doing? Is he making it easy for his wife to commit adultery? Answer me. "She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them." Why'd he do that? Make it hard. You want to make it easy for your family to go to hell? That's what everybody's doing today in these Christian churches. I want to make it easy for my children to grow up, be teenagers, and go to hell. I want to make it easy for my wife to go to hell. God hedges us in. Old cities had what around them in the Bible? They had walls. Vineyards had hedges. And let me tell you something today. If God didn't put a hedge about you, you wouldn't even be in church today. If you were left to do whatever you want without being blocked by God's providence, you wouldn't even be in church today. You wouldn't hear a word that I'm saying today. You're here because God blocked you providentially. There's some things that you would have done if you'd been left to yourself wide open to go do it. But providentially, it didn't work out. And you were left in a situation where you could hear God, and you decided, well, that makes sense to me. So I'm telling you husbands and fathers that there are dogs out there, and they disguise themselves as cute little puppy dogs. But they're gross. You understand that? They're gross. They lurk and they wait and they sneak and they flatter and they manipulate and they catch people off guard. And we see from our text there are two ways you have to stop it. One, by watching for them and building a fence and keeping them out. You hear me, Father? You hear me, husband? You got to watch, build a fence, and keep them out. But it's not enough. Did you hear me? It's not enough. It's not enough. Though you have the most perfect fence, though you are a husband that everybody around you calls radical and says you're trying to return to the 1800s, say, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And the 1700s, the 1600s, the 1500s, the 1400s, the 1300s, the 1200s, yeah, that's exactly right. I'm trying to get out of stinking 21st century. When the Bible said they will not endure sound doctrine, there'll be a falling away first. You can have your stinking century. I praise God that He has a lot of holy people that are doing what they can in the midst of this perverse and adulterous generation. But Jesus said it was an adulterous generation in the first century. And I tell you what, He said in the last days, perilous times are coming. So you're exactly right. I'm trying to go back when people had a little more sense about things. And I advise you to do it too. But it's not enough. Though you have the strongest fence and the highest hedge. You know, I think of the Lord. Many times He saves us from destruction by snatching us out of the fire like Lot. Lot was lingering And he just had to say, come on, we're just going to drag you out of here. Ain't you glad God does that sometimes? He breaks down your plans, blocks them, checks them. He chastises and scourges you, sometimes severely. When you're getting too close to evil and you begin to gamble, then all of a sudden he says, I'm going to give you one more warning. You better lay off of it. You better lay off. And then you keep messing with it. You keep messing with it. And all of a sudden God makes the move and chastises you and begins to scourge you severely. Severely. And old David could cry out. Old David could cry out. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept that word. Now I'm a fundamentalist. I was becoming a new evangelical. But I'm a fundamentalist today. I tell you what, I'm a real one. I tell you what, I have the fear of God on me. I'm separated. I want nothing to do with that mess. Oh, you've been afflicted and humbled, haven't you? Amen. Praise God for His faithfulness. Amen. Oh, but there's other folks out there. They hadn't been hit yet. They hadn't been hit yet. They'll get theirs. Oh, they'll get theirs. Let them gamble and lift their head high. Oh, they'll get it. Pray for them, because when the fall comes, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. But you know what? I'm telling you, it's not enough, Father. It's not enough, husband, for you to build a hedge around your house. You got to do more. You know what this husband did? Not only did he build a hedge about his house, not only did he protect his vineyard, but he went to the wife. He went to the wife and began to teach her. He began to teach her to not make provision for the flesh, to obey His command, to cut off opportunity for sins, to beware a dog. You know what, Jesus? He doesn't just snatch us from the fire. He doesn't just put a hedge around us. Jesus does not just do all of these things and discipline us, do everything He can to keep us from sin. He also pleads with us. He teaches us. He says, beware of them. Beware of them. Beware of them. And you've got to do your part. You've got to do your part. I'm going to do my part, but you've got to do your part in regard to these dogs. You've got to teach your children. I'm going to do everything I can to keep dogs away from you, son. I'm going to do everything I can to keep foxes away from you, to keep you away from bad children that are going to teach you a bunch of garbage. But I know you have flesh right there inside your heart. I know that there's an evil flesh that has to be restrained and disciplined, and you have to learn how to live with it and get control over it by the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, Daddy can't be with you every second. There's going to be times when you're going to have an opportunity to sin, no matter how diligent Daddy is, and you're going to have to learn at that time, take us the foxes. Not just me trying to protect you from foxes. You've got to do your part, child, to protect yourself. And no matter what you do to protect a wife from dangerous foxes and dogs, you wives, you have to do what you can. You have to protect yourself, because no matter what, there's going to be opportunity for you to have evil foxes around you. The devil's going to find some way to climb into that garden, to get through unawares. And you have to do your part. Do you understand? God does His part, but He tells us, beware of dogs. We have to do our part. And wives and children should not despise the head of the house as he tries to protect the vineyard. Don't break down a fence that he set up just because you don't understand the fence. It says in Ecclesiastes 10, who breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Do you see that? Some of you young folks, your daddy has a rule, and you break down that fence. There's a reason for that fence. And you break it down, a serpent bites you. Do you see what happens? There's men that have established rules for their home. I want you to lock the back door and keep it locked. I want you to keep the pistol near. Whatever your rules are, to protect you from wolves and thieves and rapists and murderers. And just plain people that'll come in and try to manipulate your mind when you're emotional. Don't break down those hedges. Don't break down those fences just because you can. Just because you say, when he goes to work, I'll just break down every one of these hedges. I'll put a little hole right here. Don't do it. When Jesus gives commandments to His church, look not at the wine. When He gives commandments to His church, His holy local church, don't break down. That's what they're doing today, see? We're a new church. You'll feel comfortable in my church. We've broken down all the hedges. You people are aware of how open the modern family, even the Christian family, is to being preyed upon by dogs. And it's a wise family who recognize that with modern smartphones, and they're not very smart, and computers and social media and internet and texting, the hedge has been broken. The hedge has been broken. And you're a sitting duck, just waiting for when it's your turn to learn a lesson. And God forbid, I don't want to prophesy, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some people get, there's already been people hurt by him. There's already been children hurt by him. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some marriages destroyed. And go ahead and send me the email when it happens. Folks are not even in this church. Go ahead and send it. Say, you know what? I didn't listen on that day when you gave the warning. And I'm living in hell right now. My marriage is destroyed. And you know what? It happened just the way you said it would, preacher. I listen to what the Bible says about the last days, and I think you ought to listen too. Think about it. 2 Timothy 3, this know also, then the last days perilous times shall come. You're living in dangerous days. There'll be traitors, heady. You know what heady means? They just go about their business. They're just stubborn. High-minded? Oh, it's not going to happen to me. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. I just can't resist the pleasure of it. Having a form of godliness. Oh, they'll talk about Jesus, won't they? Oh, we're so spiritual and liberated. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. They will talk the talk. They will sing song so sweetly, but they are dogs. Get away from them. Get them away from you and your family. Keep them away. They believe in rock music, whore music, rap music, sensual music. Oh, but they sing about Jesus, don't they? Oh, they pray and they're so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And they're a bunch of dirty dogs. They're a bunch of dirty dogs. You can't go sing about whoredom and listen to whoredom music and not end up with whoredom in your heart. Do you understand that? When people are high-minded and heady and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, but they have that form of godliness, the Bible says, well, bring them into your home and maybe you can persuade them. Give them contact with your wife. Let them talk to your children. What does the Bible say to do? Turn away from such, turn away. Get rid of the dogs. You don't want to live right? I'll witness to anybody. I'll go witness to anybody, but I'm not going to give you contact with my family. Don't give access to the creeps, because that's what they are. They're a bunch of creeps. Verse 6 goes on to say, for of this sort are they which what? Why are they creep into houses? Because they don't want to get caught by the husband. Do you see it? They creep into houses and lead captive. Silly women laden with sins, led away with divers love. And there's a lot of women that are wise women. But you let one of these manipulators get a hold of them, they might be silly after the devil has a little bit of time with them. You understand that? And if you say, well, that would never happen to me, I think we shouldn't be like Peter when he was exalting himself. We shouldn't be high-minded saying we stand and we're not going to fall. I think we ought to say, you know what, I don't even want to listen to a dog. I don't even want to have a dog around me. I don't even want to have one of these strange women around me because I might end up somehow or another getting myself confused. That's how we ought to be. Do you understand? There's no time to get distracted. We need to listen. Amen? Don't give access to a bunch of creeps. Ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. You know what I think that means? I think it means they've heard sermon after sermon after sermon. They've heard warning after warning after warning, but they never hear the warning. They heard that preacher get up and say over and over again, beware of dogs, beware of dogs. Watch out for these foxes. Don't make provision for the flesh. Stay away from these things. And they've looked over at the wife and they said, well, we're not legalists. That's how they live. But in our house, we're not going to live like this because we're able to deal with it. You know, and they're going to say their little joke when they get in the car and laugh about how the preacher's radical. He isn't extreme. He's even extreme with words. Do you know that? He's a purist. He's a word purist. And that's it. He's a food purist. And he's a word purist. And that's just how Joey is. But, you know, he's a preacher. I'm glad he's like that. It's good to have a little preacher like that, isn't it? Yeah, that's good, isn't it? You're not the first one, buddy. You're not the first one, amen? And you won't be the last to make your little jokes and laugh about warnings only to get hurt later. You understand that? I believe you have a wise wife and I believe you have wise children, but these dogs will creep into your houses and when they get a foothold, you'll be surprised about how foolish the devil can make you. That's why there's two sides of this. There's the side where you as a man cut off the creeps and don't give them opportunity. You make it harder for the dogs. You ought to make it real hard. Amen? But there's this side where we all, men, women, and children, must respect and honor the fences in our lives, honor the authorities in our lives. Don't be ever learning, ever hearing these warnings, but never really hearing or applying. Be thankful for the hedges. Don't be high-minded and haughty, thinking you can stand while you break down every hedge. But how are people doing today? How is the family? How is the Christian family doing today? How are we doing with the hedge broken down? Younger people are not even getting married. How are the older couples doing? CNN, June 27, 2012. Divorce rates among couples over 50 have doubled in the last 20 years, and they were bad to begin with. Do you get that? According to a study by Bowling Green State University, in 1990, fewer than 1 in 10 people who divorced were 50 or older. In 2009, that figure was 1 in 4. They found the divorce rate for those who were in their second or third marriages was 2.5 times higher than for those in their first marriages. We're looking for self-fulfillment today and individual happiness in our relationships. Dick White, now 62, said members of his generation are used to getting what they want. There it is, isn't it? How are they doing? With the hedge broken down. Where are they learning all of this self-fulfillment mess? Hollywood? Hollywood? GospelCoalition.org says Professor Bradley Wright, a sociologist at the University of Connecticut, explains from his analysis of people who identify as Christians but rarely attend church that 60% of these have been divorced. Of those who attend church regularly, 38% have been divorced. I tell you what, folks, there's some folks who wouldn't be married today if it wasn't for the church. You understand that? That church caught them by the tail, so to speak. They're hanging by a thread. If it wasn't for the church, they would have been gone. You understand that? You see why Jesus says stay close to the church? I tell you, it's not an absolute for you. It's not an absolute. You've got to do your part. But it'll catch you. It'll be at least one last safety barrier for you when you've broken down every other hedge. You know that? Isn't that a blessing? But it can break too. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the divorce rate of first marriage is around 50%. Second marriages are at 60 or 67%, and third marriages are at 73 or 74%. You know, a lot of people say, well, these fundamental Christians, these ones that go to church religiously and, you know, do all these things. Hey, they're the ones, and they're barely getting through it. Do you see that? They're the ones that are barely able to survive their marriage. There's still a 60% rate of divorce among them. According to a Norwegian study released in August 2012, the divorce rate among couples who divide up household chores is roughly 50% higher than for those where the wife handles all the housework. Now, here's my question. Here's my thought about that. If you help your wife with the housework, that's fine. But here's my question. Here's my thought. Where is the wife while he is doing the housework? See, that's the question that needs to be asked. You know where she's off in a career somewhere. That's why he's doing the housework. Or she's on Facebook, on the web somewhere. See, that's what's going on, folks. She's not over there reading the Bible. She's not knitting something for grandma. Do you understand? She's on that stinking computer while he's doing the housework. I'm not against you helping your wife, but I am against women opening themselves up to the devil. According to ABC News, a third of all divorce filings last year contained the word Facebook. That number was only 20% just 3 years ago. You know what's happening? There's some wolves and foxes and dirty dogs that are having access to the wives and the children. Attorney Pamela Helton in Pennsylvania put it this way. The American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers concluded that social networking sites are having a detrimental effect on marriages. Studies now suggest that Facebook was cited in one-third of all divorces in the United States for 2011. I'm sure the number's risen by now. I'm seeing an alarming number of clients who've either found out about their spouse's infidelity on Facebook or were the source of infidelity themselves through Facebook. It appears that many of these relationships start innocently. Listen to me, listen. The danger comes when married people start expressing their inner thoughts, lives, and troubles with an old friend.
Right.
See, the old friend, you trust them. How'd you get contact to it all? Facebook. And don't think that they're limited to Facebook. They can come right through your text message. They can come right through. I mean, there's never been an easier way. There's never been a generation for Satan to send dirty dogs into the homes today. It's easier to express your deepest thoughts online than in person. This sharing leads people to believe they have a deeper connection with their Facebook friend. When hard times come, which they will in every marriage, people will run to their Facebook friends. Did y'all hear me? You're getting awful distracted. Are you listening? Hey, well, you preach longer than any preacher in America. Well, that's all right. I know. I only get one time to do it today. I'm going to take advantage of it. I got something to say. This is important. The hedge has been broken down. Any stinking, filthy dog can get into any home in America without even trying. Hey, shouldn't there be trust in a marriage? Yeah, I trust, but I don't trust the devil. I don't trust a stinking dog. I trust a stinking dog to be a stinking dog. Whether it's Facebook or any other hole a dog can climb through. I'll tell you how it all began. It began back when they got the women out of the home. Divorce rates skyrocketed in America. Why? Well, not only do the husband and wife hardly see one another now that she has her career, but she's now opened up to whatever stinking dog happens to be out there that can come like a little puppy dog and say, "Tell me what you're going through. I just want to be your friend. You just open up to me and I'll open up to you and we'll help one another." All of a sudden the dogs had a field day praying. Not P-R-A, P-R-E-Y, I-N-G. Well, now we're living in a generation where it's all doubled again. It was bad enough with no-fault divorce rates and the women outside the home. Now you bring the World Wide Web and Facebook and stinking smartphones that can get pictures and texts and people from around the world can come into your home and say whatever they want to say. You can just delete the text message. Facebook. Well, I'm saying to you, Church of God, something's wrong. Families can't survive this. And moving up the Ozarks is not going to help it if you continue to open up the window and let the devil into your home. You can move to another country. You go far away, thousands of miles to another country and get way up high up in the mountains somewhere and they got a stinking cell phone and a stinking TV and they're bringing the same trash and destroying their home. What should we do, preacher? I'm calling on you to do something radical. I'm calling on you to make sure you can maintain it and know that you know that you know you can maintain what level of technology is inside your house. And respect those that differ from you. You want to gamble a little bit? You go ahead and gamble. I'm going to make it hard for you. I'm going to preach against it. But when other folks say, "I'm not gambling," don't you give them a hard time like Cain gave Abel a hard time. You encourage them. What's to be done with the World Wide Web and the ability to text and talk and message and just about anything else you want to do, along with the agenda of Hollywood and the whorish music? What's to be done? Matthew 5 says, "If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. How important is your right hand? That's pretty important, isn't it? And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The point is, how much more would this be true in regard to any external thing that's offending you? You get it? If Jesus says it's better to lose your right hand and go to hell, I think sometimes it's better to lose your cell phone. It's better to lose your computer. It's better to lose your text messaging. It's better to lose your stinking Facebook than it is anything else. You understand? And when things break down the hedges and become unmanageable, why do you keep permitting them? If you've already fallen into pornography with that trash, why is it in your house? Why do you give yourself the opportunity? That's what I want to know. Oh, I know the answer. Don't worry, I know the answer. You know why the answer? You know what the answer is? Other than lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? You know what the answer is? Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan boasted and laughed and cackled and said, I'll tell you the answer. TV has become the new church. He said it about TV. But he'd say it about Facebook and the internet and web and everything else today. But you know what he said? He laughed and he says, we have you, even you Christians, in a situation where you're afraid to be different. You're afraid not to watch TV. You're afraid not to have a TV in your house. You're afraid not to have your smartphone. You're afraid not to be connected to Facebook. Because we have it where you want to be part of the world. You want to be enlightened. You want that fruit of forbidden knowledge. That stinking apple that was sold for $666. You want it. You have to have it. And Anton LaVey began to laugh and said, Satanist won. Because we have it set up where you Christians can't separate. You're afraid somebody will laugh at you. You're afraid you'll miss something. I hate to say it, but that was one time when the Satanist was right. And he knew he was right. The pressure to embrace the broken down hedge is too great. You're afraid to confront the world. You have to taste it. Like Dinah, you have to go out and see the daughters of the land. You must be a part of it all. Last week we preached on the little foxes, those little resentments and self-justifications that you begin to chew on and ruminate on and allow to become deep-rooted. And I'm telling you, there's all types of reasons for you to become bitter, resentful. There's even physical. You could have mercury being released in your mouth through vaccinations. And the Bible says, not the Bible, but the studies show that mercury released in your veins, the vapors from your fillings, can make you paranoid. Super self-sensitive, delusional. People are out to get you. And then you go and get the things out, and that stuff gets released all in your nose and eyes and everywhere else. You have hormonal changes and all kinds of crazy. It's no justification. Whatever physical cause tempts you to sin, it is no justification. You understand? But I'm saying you've never lived in an age when there's been so many reasons that the devil will offer you to be bitter. And there's never been so many physical causes to produce a state of confusion and paranoia upon you as there is today. And in this state, when people are most vulnerable to sensitivity, you're going to just open the world and invent Facebook and all of these things. Where you were the person I had in. Well, I met you in junior high. We were friends. All these people, old boyfriends and girlfriends, and you're my friend. And they put their whole world right out there on Facebook, and they begin to talk to one another every day, and text one another, and message one another, and send their little pictures. And this preacher's sick. Time when you're most vulnerable as never before to to the members of the dog family, wolves and foxes and dirty dogs. Can I show you what a dog is in the Bible before we close today? I don't limit the dog to this. But there's one primary thing the Bible says is a dog, and you have to watch out more for than almost anything else. Let me show him to you. 2 Peter 2. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. So there's people out here that tell you fundamentalism is wrong, or you don't have to obey that. You ought to be able to drink alcohol, sit down and watch this Hollywood TV and listen to your rock music and your whatever. So they promise you liberty, liberty. You don't have to obey that. You shouldn't have to obey your husband. You shouldn't have to obey your father. You know, come over to our church. We don't do things that way. They promise them liberty. But look at the corruption in their church. Look at the corruption in their lives. You think you're having a hard time. You ought to see what's out in some of these churches that are breaking down the hedge even more than you are. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. After you get saved, the Lord wants you to walk in holiness, and He gives you a holy commandment to seek the kingdom and His righteousness and grow. And He gives you the way to do it. It's called make not provision for the flesh and depend upon the Holy Ghost and grieve not the Holy Spirit and set no evil thing before thy eyes, wicked thing before thy eyes. He gives you all this truth about how to turn from sin and walk this straight and narrow way. But I'm going to tell you, there's some people that get out here and they're walking a straight and narrow way. They're saved, born again, and they begin to live for God, and they turn away from their wicked music they were listening to before. They get rid of their stinking television set and all those worldly movies. They say, I don't even want to be on Facebook. I don't want to be around those people right now. I don't want to be around any. I just want to serve the Lord. And they do well. And they're doing well. And then all of a sudden they say, I want to go back to my vomit. Maybe they gamble a little bit and something bad happens to them. They think they got an excuse now to go back to their vomit. So they start listening to that music again. And they start listening and doing things the way they used to do it. And then they start justifying it, become a Sadducee. And they start justifying it and start telling you that you're a legalist and you're this. But they're going further and further into hell. They're beginning to blaspheme God with their mouth. They're beginning to watch gore and nudity and all kind of vileness on Hollywood. They're beginning to listen to a bunch of trash. They're beginning to look effeminate and sodomite. They're starting to act in different ways. And they go back to their vomit. The same vomit that Jesus saved them out of. Now you listen to me right here. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog has turned to his vomit again. His own vomit. A dog will lick anything. A dog will lick all over himself. He'll lick blood of Jezebel. He'll lick his own vomit. Dogs, I tell you what, are unclean. A dog is a fundamental Christian that used to know the truth and used to be seeking on the way of righteousness, who has now believed false teachers and the prophets of this world who promised them liberty. And they're trying to have the best of both worlds, and they're trying to walk that way where they're in the middle of the road. And they flirt with the Christian rock, and before you know it, they're back in their vomit, and they're dogs. And I'm going to tell you something. As fools, they return to their folly. It had been better for them after they were saved if they had joined a liberal church and never known the teachings of holiness. Because light brings many stripes, not few, when Jesus returned. But here's a point here. It has an application for marriages and for churches. People who used to strive after holiness, who've left the way of righteousness, according to the Bible, are dogs. And they're dangerous. They're dogs. And they're dangerous. They're dangerous to your family. They're dangerous to your children. They're dangerous to your churches. People who now justify worldly music and their worldly movies that blaspheme Jesus, they show gore and lewdness. They've once known the truth. You know why they're dangerous? They're bitter. You might not know it. When they smile and talk to you so friendly, you might not know they're bitter inside. They have an agenda. They want revenge. They're dogs lurking in the night. They're foxes waiting outside the vineyard just seeking a way in to get revenge. They go after wives. They go after children. They go after anyone they can deceive and prey upon. They're unclean. See, when people go the way of Cain, they don't just go about their vomit and go about their business. No, not the way of Cain. When people leave fundamentalism and leave the truth and they leave the way of righteousness, I tell you what, they don't just mind their own business. No, not Cain. Cain begins to look over at Abel and everybody else is doing right. And he begins to have hate in his heart for Abel. And he begins to despise Abel. And the Bible said in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasure and more lovers of God. You better turn away from him. They'll be despisers of those that are good. Oh, I tell you, that's what the Bible said. Cain hated Abel. Why? Because his own works were unrighteous, but Cain's works were righteous. Cain didn't flirt around and mess around. Abel didn't flirt around and mess around. He wasn't a friend of the world, and Cain hated it. Cain hated it because it reminded him of what he used to be.
Yeah.
So he must bring down Abel. He must bring down Abel. That's the goal. And that's why dogs, that's why people that have left the truth, no matter how much they sing and talk and pray and use the language, they're dangerous. They went back to their vomit. They'll speak to Abel in kindness. Come out to the field with me. Let us seek the Lord together. I've written a song for you. This is one reason they'll prey upon your families if they can't get you. The fact that they were once zealous for holiness gives them an opening with a kind Christian. This is why you open the door to them. You remember the good old days when they were zealous. That's why you friend them on Facebook. Well, I'm just trying to help them. Help them by getting away from them and obeying the Bible. Well, they're my buddy. I call them up all the time. Oh, really? They repented? No, but I'm still talking to them. Yes, so's your wife. So's your children. And you're opening up the church to these people. And people are going to get hurt by them. But I just remember when they used to seek the Lord. Well, they're not the same person anymore. See, Christians are very gullible as sheep. The Bible said, not the Bible, but people that have raised sheep said when one of them jumps over a cliff, the other one just keep going right through the hole and just jump right over the cliff, you know. Christians are just, and Jesus says, I don't want you this way. He says, I want you to be as harmless as doves, but when it comes to wisdom, I want you to be wise as serpents. Don't allow these dogs to come in and get you. In malice be children, but in understanding be men. The Lord says, act like a grown-up when it comes to these dogs. What I'm trying to tell you today is that modern technology and smartphones and Facebook has opened up families and churches and wives to these old friends like nothing else. And the problem is that some of these old friends are people that were once holy, once on fire for God, seeking after God's standards, but they're now drinking alcohol and watching wicked movies and listening to wicked music and using wicked language and doing wicked things unspeakable that you know nothing about, that you'd be shocked to find out. And they've been bitten by the world and they become dogs and they're bitter, despising the way of righteousness. They're angry, they're revengeful, they're spiteful, they're resentful. And I'll show you one more verse. If you don't believe me, the Bible says that those that say in their heart, the Lord delayeth his coming, and begin to eat and drink with the drunken. Oh, it doesn't end there. No, it doesn't end there. The Bible goes on to say, begin to beat and smite their fellow servants. That's pray upon your kids, pray upon your wives, call you names, do everything they can to bring you down. There it is. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'll cut them asunder. I'll cut, and the Bible is literal, he will cut them in two when he comes. And I'll do it if you come around my house. Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And what did the Bible say was a dog? Those that had known the way of righteousness and had turned from it. They're not that fundamental, holy, fired up Christian anymore. No, I tell you what, don't give that which is holy unto dogs. Don't you give them your precious Christian fellowship. That's holy. You understand that? Don't you give them your children. Your children are precious, are they not? Don't you give them your wives. Your wives are precious. Your family's holy. Don't you give your family to the dogs. Put up a hedge, a battlement about your family. Let me tell you something. The fellowship of your marriage and the intimacy is personal business. That's holy. Don't you give it to a bunch of dogs. And I know there's good friends out there that I'm not calling dogs, but you know what? Even as a good friend, you don't need to be meddling in somebody's business. You understand that? You don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you're doing. See, shouldn't we try to reclaim somebody that's gone the way of the dog? The Bible is very careful about this. It says, let those who are spiritual restore such a one. And what the Bible's saying is you have to be very careful about this business. You have to make sure you're the one God wants to restore them. And when you restore them, you got to be just like a lifeguard who dives in the water and sometimes uses self-defense to keep from being drowned. I'm telling you, and when you go after them, if they're not open, that father waited till the prodigal got humbled before, and he went out a little way when he saw him coming and met him. And I tell you, if anybody says, I'm done with this sick vomit, I'm done with it, and they're showing that they want to open their heart, we will run out to be the... But even then, we got to be careful. You understand? Because they'll fake it sometimes. You understand? So when people that have left the way of righteousness come back, and you want to start giving them hugs, and, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, you hadn't repented, but I'm still going to hug you. Oh, that's great, great. Welcome. Here's my children. Here's my wife. Here's these. This is a new family over here, and they're doing good. These are tender grapes over here. Oh, you see that family? Why don't you get on Facebook with them and start contacting them? That's what's going on today. That's what's going on. That's why everybody's just sitting back watching the destruction. I'm done watching the destruction. I'm done with it. The Lord didn't bring us down here to sit back and just watch the devil send everybody to hell. You understand that? I'm done with it. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he said, go call your husband. Why did Jesus do that? Not only did he want to show her that she had sin, but he wanted to follow the forms of the day. He wanted to follow the wisdom of the day. I'm not going to sit out here and just talk to a woman by myself. The Lord was perfect. He's not going to fall. But he was trying to be a good example to everybody else. He said, go call your husband. Go call your husband. So you got to put up those roadblocks even when you're trying to reclaim people. You understand that? Well, some of you, you say, oh, I talked to so-and-so today. I talked to so-and-so. I called up so-and-so. I called up so-and-so. Oh, you did? And you wonder, well, why don't you call him? Well, there's a reason I don't call people. Because if they're not ready to repent, sometimes I'll throw out feelers to see if they're ready. But if they're not ready to repent, they got to stay and learn what they need to learn from the devil. But I got to protect what I have. You understand that? Yeah. And so you think you're being wise and using your gift. And sometimes you're just being gullible and you're messing up what I'm trying to do. You understand that? And people end up getting hurt because you gave them the opening to come around and start preying upon people. Now Jesus, he went through the door. He wasn't a thief, was he? He wasn't a robber. He wasn't a creep. So as watchers of our homes, I'm exhorting you today to get more diligent. When you try to be a good husband, you're going to end up going against the world. But if you try to please the world, you're going to go against your better judgment. These little foxes are dangerous. But in their friendship, their nice words, you overlook them. And they're the ones who are going to spoil you. Job was so watchful. He said he wouldn't let certain fools around his sheepdogs. If you've got any more attention, and I know I've taken your attention level beyond anything that's normal in this day and age, and I'm sorry, I just have something to say today. Amen? I do appreciate you for your patience today. But if you've got any attention left, I just got a few more points. Job said he wouldn't let certain fools around his dogs. He said, "You'll mess up my dogs." Now, if Job so guarded his dogs, what do you think Job felt about his children and his wife? So you call me extreme all you want to. But Job watched over his dogs and wouldn't let certain people around his dogs. You just remember that, amen? But there's this responsibility on the other side. The husband says, "Let us capture these foxes." You know, the bad wife in Proverbs 7 didn't work outside the home. It says that young man made provision for the flesh, but it also says her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth wait at every corner. If that man had made provision for the flesh, and she had not left her house, sitting on the corner, lurking all around, that wouldn't have happened. And I'm telling you, there's dogs that are lurking around, going the way to houses at night, while the good man of the house doesn't expect it. As husbands and fathers, let's be diligent, let's be manly, and let's watch, let's block these dogs before they come, and let's be swift to go after them when they break through the hedge. But if you ain't got a hedge, you're not going to be able to stop the dogs that are going to come after you. And while we're doing all of this, men, let's pray to Jesus, amen? Let's pray to the Father God that He would watch over, because none of us are perfect at watching, are we? I'm not a perfect pastor at watching over this flock. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect husband in watching over my wife. That's why David says in Psalms 22, "Deliver my soul from the sword and my darling from the power of the dog." You got to pray for Jesus to put a hedge about your family, don't you? Let's make not provision for our own sins and make sure you're not a predator yourself. Amen? Stay with the way of righteousness. Honor people's wives. Honor their children. Honor the intimacy of their marriage. I want to help you in counseling, but I have to follow proper procedure. You understand that? And as wives, give the man of the house your heart. Allow yourself to be protected and loved. You're precious. And we must not give that which is holy to dogs. And if you're single, obey the preaching. Don't gamble. Listen to what the preacher's saying. Stay close to the church and those that can help guard you. And keep yourself. And as a church, this all applies to us. We must submit to the rules of Jesus to protect our church. We must watch so we will not be led astray by wolves in sheep's clothing or dogs who use the language of harmless puppies. 2 Corinthians 11, as I close, says, "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He was worried, wasn't he? He had this fear that the devil who beguiled Eve might take the church and deceive it. "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom he would not preach," that's that Christian rock Jesus, you know. "Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Does he want you to bear with him? No. He wants you to get rid of them. Eradicate the foxes. What do you do to the dog? You kick them out. You put a fence. You don't bear with a bunch of dogs. It's what the husband's saying. Take us the foxes. Take us the foxes. He's saying, don't bear with them even for a minute. Expose them, trap them, block them, eradicate them, keep them away, turn from them. Be honest. You know, some of you men need to walk around with some of these gadgets and things you have in your life. And you need to go personally to your wife and say, "I've dishonored you with this. You don't know about it, but I've dishonored you with this thing. And you know what? We'll figure out something else. I don't know if it's... We'll figure out something else in our life. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But I've dishonored you, and I want this thing out of my life." That's what you need to do. And some of you ladies have a passive husband. He's a good husband, and he loves you the best he can. But you need to go and say, you know what? He thinks he can trust the devil and trust me in regard to these things, but I'm going to go to hell with some of the liberty he's given me in my life. And you need to go to your husband. You need to say, you know what? You should have listened to the preacher and took this out of my life. And I want you to go ahead and take it out. I'm giving you permission to go be man of the house and take this out of my life. How about that? Some of you children, you know you got a good daddy that watches over you, but you know there's some things he just doesn't know about. And you think you're pretty wise. If you love Jesus right now, you ought to go to your daddy and say, Daddy, you've been a good daddy, but you missed this. Because I love you and love Jesus, I'm going to show you what you missed. And your daddy will probably cry. He probably will. He'll probably say, how in the world could I have missed that? How in the world was the devil getting into my house? And I had no idea. That's what we ought to do, church. Amen? First Corinthians 15, as Sister Lynn please comes and sings for us. And her singing isn't here to merely entertain you. It's to call you to repentance at this time. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Whether it's Hollywood, wicked music, or friends on Facebook, they will corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. They'll corrupt your wife, they'll corrupt your children, they'll corrupt your own life. Today I am going to call you to come. I'm going to call you to come and get angry at some dogs. I'm going to call you to come. Put away some things that you know the Holy Ghost has been speaking to you and you know you cannot justify what you have in your life and you need to get rid of it. You need to be a better husband, better father. You women, you children, need to respond to the preaching. You need to go home and do some things that are radical in the eyes of the world. But I promise you, you'll be left with a family that loves the Lord. There's few things as important as that. Dear Father, I do pray the people will come, and they'll give their hearts to you, and that you'll do a great work in Kingdom Baptist Church today, and in all who have heard this message throughout the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. You come.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Be watchful of foxes and dogs. Wolves will bring death, not life. Be watchful of foxes and dogs. Wolves will bring death, not life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call. Wonderful words of life. Also free.
Time for you.
Given, wooing us to the
We're not in a rush.
Kingdom. Be watchful of foxes and dogs. Wolves will bring death, not life. Be watchful of foxes and dogs. Wolves will bring death, not life. Sweetly echo the godly call.
Oh, God bless them.
Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life.
Yeah, bless them, Lord.
Jesus only.
We're not playing around, Lord.
Sanctify forever. Be watchful of foxes and dogs. Wonderful words of life. Think on the word, it's wonderful words of life.
Thank you, dear sister. That was beautiful and that was timely. I've set before you this day, death and life. Let's choose life today. Amen.